Support for This Is an Experiment is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Their products are precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. And Manscaped's performance package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the exclusive offer for you. That is 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code EXPERIMENT at manscaped.com. If my math is correct, that's about 8 million balls.
The artist's brain is an independent variable. When brought into the everyday world, their senses find meaning in even the most mundane observations. The reaction must only be told by the artists themselves. I'm Loverboy, and this is an experiment.
Right now?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Today's guest needs absolutely no introduction. He's been here before, and hopefully he'll be here many, many, many times to come. Please welcome the artist, the musician, the songwriter, and the damn good human being, Mr. Christian French.
Thank you, my friend. It feels good to be back.
It's good to have you back.
Yeah, I hope we do like pretty much just every song. I'll just come back over and we'll just do this again.
Done.
I think
Done.
We're two for two right now.
Yeah, no, let's keep, I'll have you anytime. Let's right, keep cool. doing it. So how you been? It's been probably like 5-6 months since you've been here.
Okay, cool.
Maybe even more.
It's been that long. I was just trying to think of how long it's been.
Maybe less.
I've been good, man. I've kind of transferred from writing a bunch of new music to finishing up all this music finally, which feels really good. Because kind of after making music for a while, just writing, trying to write about the same things over and over again can get a little exhausting. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, man, feeling really good that this project is finally coming together and it sounds incredible.
What do you find harder, writing new music or finishing music that you started?
Oof. I think finishing's harder because especially on songs, like I have a good grip of songs that I started, for example, this song I'm putting out this Friday, I started January of 2021.
Oh, wow.
And it's kind of been sitting around working on it here and there, but for the most part, like I'm listening to the demo, you know, over and over again, and yeah. I'm getting attached to one version of it. And then when it comes to finishing it, it's like really hard to hear past the demo, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And I get all wigged out, like, I don't know, in the mixing process. Like, it's always just like, oh, is this right? Is this the right thing? Like, is it sounding right?
Are you sitting there? Are you sitting in on all the mixing sessions?
Not necessarily for the mixing, but the pre-mix, like the last bounce we send to mix, I'll be in the room for sure.
Unreal.
Yeah, but being in the room for mixing is not a bad idea. I've never tried that.
I feel like it could go either way. I feel like it depends on, first of all, who's mixing, and also like having a little bit of separation,
That's true.
Allows for ideas to come that maybe as an artist would be hard to allow because they don't feel like what you expected from the song.
Totally.
And obviously revisions can always get you back to where you want, but like, I don't know.
That's
but,
a good point.
But maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you'll get to do things with an engineer that you wouldn't be able to do in the production section because it's, you know, you're too close to it.
Totally. Totally.
But I feel like people either struggle with finishing or creating new music, and I struggle
with
both.
I feel like the creating new music, like obviously there's waves where it's so hard and I don't know really what to write about anymore, but that's always just been the really, really, really fun part for me is like there's no feeling like creating a new song that you just really, really love.
Just trying to get through that initial period too where it's like I need an idea and then randomly you have this whole idea put on the page and it's like it's almost a blur in between.
I don't know if this has happened to you, but have you ever had it where you start writing a song and you're like, this sucks, but I'm going to finish it anyways because I'm here and I'm going to do it. And then you finish it, you're like, thank God I finished that. Because I love this song now.
I go and I repurpose stuff a lot. So if I'm having like a tough session on something, I'll put it to the side and then I'll come back like 5 days later and I'll resample it. If I don't like what I did, I'll sample it and try to make it into something that's worth having.
I did that for one of my songs I got coming out.
Did you?
I did like it was like I was doing a feature for somebody, but they ended up going with somebody else. But I really fucked with my verse that I had on there. So I stole that verse and put it into a new song I was writing. And it fit so perfectly.
Do you ever have sessions where you're writing and you go in and you look at like 15 other songs that you have written, take half the lyrics from each
for
of them?
Sure, for sure. Especially on the days where you run into those brick walls of just like not having, you know, inspiration or not coming in with an idea and kind of being in this weird lost land for a second, that is when I'll go back and like scrap my favorite lines or like just good ideas from other songs. Yeah.
Are there any producers that you're working with right now that you're digging that you feel like are helping kind of get your vision across?
Definitely. I worked a lot with Pinkslip and Rob Inverness on, you know, a lot of these records. Like, these are like all the records I was making like a year and a half ago, and we made some really cool records together. And then Griff Clausen came in, I think at the end of last year, I met him. And our first session was the Golden Year session. And just like really hit it off. Love the guy. Such a kind soul that's down to just like keep digging until we find exactly what it needs to be. And so I've been working with him a whole lot. And then Drew DeCaro has, I don't know if you met him, right?
I've never met him, but I know him by name.
Okay, cool. Well, Drew has been in my corner since I came out to LA for the first time. Had my very first studio session with him. And we've just been like clicking ever since, and so I bring him in pretty much on everything still.
I love it. And one of the things we talked about in our last podcast was how important the community is around you and the fact that you're meeting people when you first come out here and kind of growing with them.
Totally.
I feel like that's the ultimate way to form a connection is like fail
with
somebody.
Everybody's just so much more invested than like somebody who's already made it, and then they're like, you're just kind of like, I don't know.
They saw the trial and tribulation, you know. They, when you can see somebody struggle, but you can also see them win, then you can see the fight. You can see the progression and how badly somebody wants it.
Totally.
That, like when you see somebody win a huge race in the Olympics or something, you see that smile. It's like hard to not feel that with them.
Yeah,
for sure. I feel like it's the same sort of thing. People want to see you win.
Definitely. And like, I definitely feel that with my team that I have right now. Like, we've started together. We're all around the same age, like learned everything together. And they're hustling and working their asses off is like what makes me be like, I got to work my ass off because like we're in this shit together and I got to pull my weight. And like, it's just cool to see.
You live with some other musicians too, right?
I do. I live with a whole block of musicians.
Who do you live with, if you don't mind saying?
So I live with a producer named Rob DeAndrea. And an artist named Miles Sanders. You know Miles,
Talk to Miles.
And then a creative director who's an artist, painter. So he's an artist in a different wave of art.
Which is fucking so cool.
Yeah, and he's incredible. He does all my album arts and everything.
Oh, shit.
But I used to live five houses down the street with JP, my manager, Jacob, my manager, and then Pinkslip, the producer. And so now there's seven of us in this block, and so we walk back and forth to each other's places whenever.
That's like the Laurel Canyon scene. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you guys are working.
Entourage shit as well. It's just crazy.
Are you guys working on each other's tracks and helping out with stuff too? Is it like very collaborative?
It took a year and a half of living with Pinkslip to make our first song.
What?
Which is wild. But the song we've had, I've probably been holding on to it for 2.5 to 3 years now. But it's coming out. Like, I still love it that much. So that was our first time. We were like, holy shit. So we started making more together. So obviously we've been in a lot of sessions together. But then Rob is a producer that lives with me. And so some Friday nights when we're both doing nothing, we'll just like hang out and make a song for fun. Or like,
I love that.
We've started writing for other people. That's something I've really loved doing recently, especially after writing all this music for my project and kind of opening up and writing for other people. So, you know, he'll like tackle the production and I'll tackle the songwriting. And then at the end of the day, we'll just like go in on the production and nerd out together. And it's super fun.
God, that's so sick.
Yeah.
And I feel like it also, when you're that comfortable with somebody, cause you live with them, like there's boundaries that I think living with somebody is tougher than anything else in the world. I think at least friendship wise. And if you can make that happen, then there's so many like different barriers that are no longer there
for
creating music or doing fucking
whatever it is. Peak level of comfort.
Absolutely.
If you've managed to cross that threshold.
And you can just fuck around. Like you understand like this person could leave and go to their bedroom right now.
Yeah.
Like we're just fucking around. We're just hanging out.
That's a really good energy that I feel like we've always kept. And we've never made it like a super, like, we've got to write the fucking biggest song ever right now.
Yeah.
And we just mess around and like
write the biggest songs ever.
Exactly.
I love it. So I know that so where we are right now, this upcoming week's going to be a big week.
Tis indeed.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to switch some stuff around. Let's get this out tomorrow.
Get the song out?
Let's get the song out tomorrow. Yeah. Hey, management, I'm changing things. Let's get this podcast out tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. You're the editor.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
I don't got anything else to do tonight.
All right. Well, okay, I am so in for that. Yeah, let's get it out before the song's out.
So then what can you say and what can you not say?
I mean, I can pretty much say everything at this point because it's been put on TikTok so many times and been talked about so much this week already, but it's called Butterfly Fields, and it is my take on how it felt to fall in love for the first time. Just like that peak of the honeymoon phase when you don't want to be with anybody else. You just want to like ride whatever high you're on with this person. And yeah, to me, it like wasn't like a current thing I was going through when I wrote it. And I'm trying to write everything kind of through the lens of nostalgia and like good memories and looking back on them. And so this is kind of just my take on how that felt. And so we wrote it, like I said, last January. We went up to Sequoia and hopped in a cabin for the weekend and just had the biggest vibe of a time. And I knew that this song, like I had had this concept for a good couple months and was like really trying to build out what it would be. And I just knew it had to be like a cozy cabin song, like that indie vibe. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, you know that. That's my world. I love
it. I know it's your world. Yeah.
Damn. Well, hopefully once this turns off, I can get a sneak peek.
Come on. You got the whole thing.
Ah, you guys, I'm in for a treat. So you wrote this in a cabin in the Sequoia, surrounded by possibly the most beautiful trees in the world.
It did.
And I'm sure it feels like that too.
It does. Yeah. And that was kind of the whole point of the trip was, you know, capturing that vibe rather than I feel like sometimes in LA, like, I don't know, shit just moves really quick. And some days you're in from 1 to 7 or whatever. And you're like, okay, well, we got the bones of the demo so we can go home now. But like, the point was to be like, nah, like we're working from when we wake up to 5 a.m. and we're going to get every idea out and just like soak in that cabin vibe.
Well, and being in that atmosphere transfers you out of the daily grind in the sense of, did you have service even?
I don't remember. I mean, I wasn't really on my phone other than for writing lyrics anyways.
So I guess at the end of the day, it doesn't even matter. Like you took yourself out of the regular perspective of life. And like you were saying before, you wrote this based off of a prior situation. Mm-hmm. And I'm like the biggest fan of the idea that retrospect is the killer of all bullshit. Like looking at anything in retrospect will allow you to see the story for what it was.
For sure.
And I think sometimes when people are writing songs, they don't feel as genuine down the line to the person who wrote the song because you're looking at it from this perspective of being cloudy. You're in something versus looking at something that you were in.
For sure.
And I feel like a lot of, like more people probably do write it while they're in it. So I'm really curious to like hear your perspective on what it means to look back at something that was so special versus being inside something and clouded by everything around you.
That's a good way to put it. I feel like it just gives you time to reflect on the details and like the little moments that like really meant, you know, rather than like, I don't know, there's just like some cliche lines that I could have written in there, but we tried to get like super in detail about it.
And what can we expect? So this is coming out on Friday.
It is.
So what can we expect after that? What's next? You said you've been writing a lot of music or finishing.
Yeah, I've been finishing a lot of music, man. So the week after that is going to be the music video. And I'm really excited about that because it's kind of my first music video where I had a huge part in writing the treatment for it. And the treatment was this like kind of like POV VHS thing, like that's me and somebody. And so I was like shooting most of the video, which was also a crazy new experience for me.
Is this, I saw something on a story maybe of you in like a convertible out somewhere. Was that a prior song?
Convertible.
A past song. Maybe it wasn't even a convertible. Maybe I'm making shit up, like a field in some lake or something.
It was definitely in a field. Oh, that was the Golden Years.
Okay, that's
why. Yeah.
Because I was going to say, I feel like I've seen it, but I've also seen it in your stories. Okay.
Yeah,
never mind.
There's a lot of stories that go
up. New song.
It's a new song, but no, like, I'm trying to carry the first couple songs, like the idea of the music videos, have them all connect. And so it's the same girl in this music video. And the Golden Years was us kind of meeting, and this is us in the honeymoon phase, and the song that comes after that is kind of like what happens after a relationship. I'm not going to get super deep into it.
No, that's okay. I'll ask questions after.
Yeah, but so I got the music video out next Friday, and then trying to go for like 5 singles and then the project.
Damn.
Which is a lot of singles, but I'm here for it.
So full project.
10 songs.
Holy shit.
I also don't know if I should have said that.
I can bleep that if you need.
No, it's okay.
So that means that hopefully in the next year, we'll see 15 songs.
Yeah. 10 songs.
10 songs. Well, you said there's 10 on the... I guess 10 altogether.
Yes.
I see.
Yeah.
That's still...
15 would be crazy.
10's crazy.
Yeah. I haven't released a project this big. It's only been like, you know, the 6-song EPs or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really excited to get more than that out there. Because it's so always been like a 4 singles and then the EP comes out and it's like 2 new songs. But I'm excited to like give everybody who's been listening for so long like really something to grab onto.
Are you an album person?
Yes. I think so.
I don't know. I was growing up for sure. And I think I still am for older music. But I feel like I've become a single person. I like to hear, I don't know.
I just think it's really cool when it's well done. Like I can't listen to an album if it's like not connected or doesn't really sound in the same world. But like there's just certain albums that like I would much rather be on a road trip listening to a John Mayer album or a War on Drugs album or whatever than listen to like singles down my playlist, you know?
That's true. And I guess
so it's just like all timing thing, I guess.
And I guess also depends who's writing it. Like you have somebody like War on Drugs or like John Mayer or for me it's like Jack Johnson or Edward Sharpe. Yeah. Like listening to their albums makes sense to me. And I guess where I was going with it is I want to become an album person again. I want to see more people change what it means to have an album. It used to mean that you're filling up a piece of vinyl. There's only so much room, and depending on how long the songs are, there's a reason they were certain lengths and all that. But we don't have those limitations anymore.
For sure.
What do you think an album could be?
I mean, I saw Morgan Wallen just release a double album, which was like 34 songs or whatever, which is crazy, but like, that would be so cool. And like, I don't know, that's a dramatic shift of what albums used to be. And I know people don't have, you know, the attention span to really dive into albums like that sometimes, but you know, in Morgan's case, he made a really amazing album. A lot of these 34 songs are really good and it keeps people like, maybe they'll listen to the first couple and they'll put the couple on their playlist and they're like, okay, I'm going to listen to these for now. It's too much. Then they get exhausted and they're like, I'm going to go check out that album again. Yeah. And they like find more every time.
And, they start
and it just
back.
Keeps you coming back over and over again. And I think that's really cool.
I think anything you can do to kind of keep somebody in the story, and it doesn't, and by that, it doesn't have to be a listening session. It can be a 2-week thing where you're taking it piece by piece as you
totally.
Go and using it as necessary.
Yeah.
But I do miss that. And I'm excited to hear your project and
yeah.
feel it the same way.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I've been trying really hard to, you know, I have this concept and really sticking to it. And to me, it all fits really well. I just hope it's received really well.
Man, I'm excited.
Hell yeah.
Tell me about these cameras that you've been using for your video. I saw on a story, I believe it was, or maybe it was on your live stream, the disposable cameras.
Yeah, so we just shot Butterfly Fields last week, and I am so thankful for Sanj, if you're watching this. I love you, Sanj. Sanj is my day-to-day and was there taking pictures all day, getting, you know, all the necessary content or whatever. But at the same time, she took 10 disposable cameras and filled up all of the rolls all day taking pictures. And then we got them developed and scanned and we're sending the negatives off along with the scanned pictures to different fans who pre-saved the song.
Dude, that is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
That is such a smart idea. Where did this come from?
That was amazing. Sanj. Sanj is really,
Sanj, you're a genius.
Really slick with it.
For real. I saw you post a little something about it, so I wanted to ask, but I just think that's the cool shit, and that proves why you're doing this.
For sure.
That just shows that you're doing this because you like sharing what you do with people and you appreciate the people who are willing to give you that time and listen to it.
Absolutely.
And I think at the end of the day, that's everything. You know, there's a reason things like Discord and all these things have become the essence of a lot of what musicians are, is because it's a place to fully connect and answer back and be a part of these fans and not just be somebody that they look up to, but be somebody that is part of it and can learn from them. And
for sure. That's a crazy thing that has switched from, you know, like early 2000s artists into like whatever is now is like back then it was just kind of like this figure, like this plateaued figure that was in magazines or on TV shows or whatever. And you kind of just got that taste of them. But now there's like a super genuine side that I think people who listen to artists are really looking for, like
just content in general now. I mean, like, I feel like we're in a day and age where there's a lot of bullshit and a lot of fake people, but there's also a really high level of understanding when somebody's bullshitting or being fake. And like that's the difference. Like when there's more bullshit, there's also a higher level of being able to pick it out of the crowd.
Definitely.
And people can see that shit. And like taking the extra step and taking those pictures for everybody, that's going to be something that they're going to feel like now they are part of this project. This is something that they are part of. This is their community. They, you know.
That's the goal. That's the goal for sure. Is to get them as involved as possible, whether it's, you know, that or trying to talk to them every day or like posting exactly how I got through every song and what it means. And, you know,
it's unreal. And once this project's out, are we going to expect a tour?
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Man, I have been like dying to tour this fall. But my hunch is just telling me to wait for the project to come out and really do it right. Totally. This spring. I'm hoping it's this spring. I'm saying that pretty briskly. But yeah, I'm dying to go, you know, obviously North America, but my Europe run got canceled because of COVID. And so doing that for real this time.
Man.
Then I got some bucket list spots. I'm really dying to go to Japan. Like that is number one. Yeah. Have you been to Japan?
I was in the airport when I was going to Vietnam.
All right,
and that was incredible, let alone fucking walking into the country.
Right.
So hopefully in the next year or two, I'm going to try to go.
I'm really curious on what Thailand's like as well.
Thailand, so a lot of the people that my brother and I traveled with went Laos, Thailand, pretty much all of Southeast Asia, and then their last place was Vietnam.
Okay.
So we got to hear a lot and see a lot of pictures, and I mean, it looks fucking epic. It looks the most beautiful, crystal clear blue waters and like just the sweetest people and amazing food. I think it's very similar to Vietnam in that sense. Like Vietnam was just there was nothing about it that wasn't mind-blowing and beautiful and life-changing. Everything.
It was like every experience was just a culture shock, because I feel like that's what I'm looking for in like Japan, is that feeling of like, holy shit, this goes on every day while I'm over on my side of the world.
And that's the craziest thing is like, when I'm going to bed there, my parents are waking up here. And like, you forget that we have this beautiful bubble that we live in, but there's so much outside of this.
Totally.
And like, culture shock is almost an understatement. Like being in places where I'm the only English speaker, me and the only other person that I can physically talk to is my little brother standing next to me. And in a place of thousands of people around me. And it gives you this perspective of like, there's people who come out here to give themselves a better life and come to America, which for us is just, it's just America. Like it's very simple and we're lucky that we were born here.
But you got a feel for what that's like.
Yeah. And getting to see that, you have this understanding of human beings that is so necessary. And I think that everybody who has the opportunity, because I know I'm very blessed that I was able to go, but anybody who has the opportunity to go somewhere, Europe's amazing. All these places are amazing, but go somewhere where there is more different than similar to where you're from. And it'll change who you are forever in the greatest way.
That's kind of why I think India is also in my top, like wanting to go. I just want to go like experience what that's like.
Let's
do it.
Tomorrow.
Want to go camping? We've been talking about camping. We just go send it to India.
Man, I need to see more of the world. It gave me a drive to just... It showed me how necessary it is to get to a place as a human being where you are so much more genuine to the world.
Yeah.
And like...
You just understand.
So much more understanding. It's amazing. If you have the opportunity to go anywhere in the world, go. But if you have the opportunity to go somewhere in Southeast Asia or Japan or China or somewhere where it's really going to be that starkly different, it's the most necessary thing I've ever done by far.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing some of that. I hope music leads me there, but regardless, you know, I'm gonna make the
Well, it sounds like it is leading you there.
For sure. For sure.
Like you the fact that you were able to cancel a tour in Europe means that you had a tour, that there are people who want to see you on the other side of the fucking world.
Wow.
Who know who Christian French is and are probably waking up at night to be the first person to pre-save or hear a release or like
it's crazy.
You
shout out my Europe fans.
Buy those tickets. They'll be out eventually. He's going to come meet you guys, and then he's going to China, and then he's going to I'm just making a whole tour for you. He's going everywhere. There's something about being able to do your art that leads you to be worldwide. That is, I think really what it's all about. It's being able to connect with people you might not even be able to talk to.
Right. Like, and they still love the music and they connect with it, resonate with it. And you're just like, wow, it blows my mind. I don't really have words for it. Like,
your words are in the songs. You're doing it. You've already spoken, you know, and you'll continue to speak to all these people. And it sounds like the new song is just going to be another extension onto that.
Definitely.
I love it, man. You're fucking killing it. And,
thanks,
and I'm excited to have you in for every song and get to
every
to
song
see the
ever.
Growth. I'll be here. Hopefully not just in this place. Hopefully we'll have a beautiful, nice big studio one day, but
I don't know, man. I'd come back here every time.
The only problem is that it's hot as fuck. It's ridiculous. It's so hot in here.
I've only had the nighttime vibe.
That's true. I guess it's not terrible right now.
Yeah.
But what else do you hope to see out of Christian French as a musician in the next couple years? Where do you see yourself going? Where do you see yourself growing into? Is there a genre you'd like to explore? Is there a
Definitely, man. I have been working on production and guitar so much recently. And so I'm finally to a point where I can play guitar live. And so this next tour I'm going to be on is like, that was my 2 years ago goal was playing guitar on stage. And I'm like doing that. So now it's getting to the next step of like being comfortable getting outside of rhythm and like ripping solos or whatever. And so definitely that, since I've started playing guitar, I've gotten like a lot more interested in songwriting just on guitar. And that's led to a lot more like folky type songs, I would say.
Totally.
And it feels really, really good to do. And, so I'm going to keep exploring that. Man, I don't know when a debut album is going to come, but it's going to come. And I don't even know.
Are the 10 songs an album?
My label's not letting me call it an album, I don't think.
So it's a long EP.
We're calling it a mixtape.
That's cool too, though.
Yeah.
And that also gives more room for things to not have to just be cohesive, but to have their own pocket.
For sure.
Which is fucking great. And then it also gives you room to still have your debut album.
Yeah. And I'm not mad about it. I was butthurt about it at first because like I've been working so hard on this music, but you know, at the end of the day, they're letting me release 10 songs in a project where most other artists are only getting a couple singles or that like small EP. And so,
who are you signed by?
I'm signed to Disruptor and I'm upstream through RCA.
Unreal.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Dude, just hearing RCA always, it's always so cool to me. I mean, that's one of the epic labels ever.
Yeah.
I mean, they had some of the greats.
My Indiana football stadium growing up was the RCA Dome.
No way.
Yeah, but they busted it down.
Really?
Yeah.
So now you got to play at, I guess it's not Joe Louis anymore.
That's.
I should know.
What are we talking
about? Stadium wise in Michigan. Now you got to
go. Oh, in Michigan. I'm talking about Indiana, but Michigan is the Little Caesars.
Little Caesars. I should know this. You're not even fucking.
I'm a Red Wings fan, baby.
I'm from there and I don't even know that. That's unreal. Have you been? I guess they're not playing right now.
No, but I went when they came here.
How did you get into the Red Wings? Just being from Indiana, just being so close?
My dad's always been a fan, and so, therefore, I was a fan. And then they started sucking, but I just was like, this is my team. Like, I don't know.
Ride or die.
When I first became a fan, it was like Pavel Datsyuk, Steve Yzerman, fucking Sergei Fedorov, and
oh yeah,
all these crazy you know, legends. And so that really bought me in.
That was back when the Pistons also had like Rasheed Wallace and Ben Wallace. And
I don't know anything about basketball. I nodded my head like, oh yeah.
I what I know is that I went to the games and I got good food and then we would leave. And then sometimes we get to go back there and watch somebody play
sometimes
some music.
Sometimes you get a little mini basketball or something.
That was my, I was the most uncoordinated fuck. I was so bad at sports.
Were you?
Dude, so bad.
Damn.
I could hit though, like for lacrosse. I was big enough that I could take some people out, but that was what I could do with sports. I'm supposed to be making music. That's about it. No sports.
Good thing you weren't good at sports. Maybe you'd still be playing them and you would have never found music.
That's true. We're not the best at sports.
It's crazy that like when I was in high school, at least the beginning of high school, like hockey was my life. Like that was what I wanted to do with my life. That was what I was spending all my time doing. It was like training and like, you know, I don't know, just all hockey. And then, you know, like a year later, I'm like, do I really want to do this? And then
your change in careers and what you were interested in seems to be just massive anyways.
Definitely.
You were going to be a doctor, right?
Yeah. It was hockey, doctor, music.
It was pretty much the path that was probably the least resistance. Whether you liked it or not, I'm sure there was part of you that thought that would have been an amazing idea and stuff, but like society gives you the path of least resistance, especially like areas where I'm from. And then I'm sure where you're from too, just like more middle-class suburban areas. Like that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be a doctor. You're supposed to be a lawyer. You're supposed and then you went on the path of most resistance. And now you get to see the world in a way that you probably would never have been able to see it otherwise.
I think about that all the time. Like, I would have definitely still been in school right now. I'm not knocking anybody that's in school because we need doctors, and that's amazing. And I respect that to the fullest extent. But yeah, I just, like, would not have done any of this. I wouldn't got to travel the country. I wouldn't have, like, found a sense of purpose that, like, genuinely, like, fires me the fuck up every day. Yeah. And, like, that's something that alone, like a lot of people don't have the chance to find their whole lives. And so the fact that I've found that in my 20s is crazy.
Well, that's part of the reason I love this podcast. And there's certain people that I want to have reoccurring is when you can be with somebody who loves something just as much as like I have this because I am the biggest fucking fan of music and of people who make it. Mm. And every time I talk to you, whether it's, you know, on the podcast or not, that same energy is there 100% of the time. Like, good day, bad day, you love music and you love creating it and you love being an artistic human being. And I feel like that's really, like, if you want to do this and you want to be able to tour Europe and all this stuff, you have to love this.
Yeah.
Because there's days where it's not easy. And we were just talking about how, like, I asked you if you like doing social media. And at the end of the day is, if you want to do this, it's not about if you like it or not. It's how much do you like doing music?
Totally.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you can be a musician and sit in your bedroom all day and or do whatever and write the music. But if you're like not doing the social media stuff, no matter how hard it may be to like, you know, get yourself there, like nobody's going to hear it and it'll just be for you, which is okay.
Totally.
But if you're trying to, you know,
if you want to make feed it a family, life,
yeah.
If you want to see the world, if you want to play on stages and get to change thousands of people's lives all at the same time, you got to put in the other bullshit. You got to do it.
A little bit of TikTok's worth it if you like getting to that point, for sure. Well,
and so I working for this label, one of the things I'm realizing is there are ways to do it where you can be fully genuine yourself, genuinely yourself. And it doesn't have to be this strive to find new content. It's just I'm gonna film what I'm me being me.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what you do from my perspective, from a third person perspective, is playing guitar, singing, meeting with fans. Like, you're not fucking going on and doing these dances all the time to random songs. Or
because I can't dance.
I bet you could. If you could learn guitar, you can learn to dance.
You're right, I could. I was in dance class back in the day.
What kind of dance?
It was hip-hop.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't really, like, a fit for me going on stage singing, like, Hungover Sunday or some, like, sweet little song. But that, I will say that, from a musical standpoint, I did that to prep for this Quinn 92 tour
that
I went
worked.
On.
It worked perfectly.
Quinn 90 tour. But I was like, I've got to like learn how to move up on stage because I did the Chelsea Cutler tour and it was cool, but I was so nervous every show and was like locked up. And so enrolled in some dance classes. And that was the biggest like test of, I really want to do this, because dancing was like my biggest fear. And like somebody going, show me what you got, and you just got to dance in front of them for a minute or two or whatever, was insane to me.
Fucking trip.
And so getting through that was like, holy fuck. But I'm so thankful I did it.
It's so cool that you were willing to do it though too. And
not willing to do the TikTok dances though.
No. Well, that's such a, that's, you're making the music for people to do TikTok dances.
Exactly.
Too. That's your,
let's stick with that.
Yeah. That's a perfect job. Yeah. Somebody's got to do both parts. Is Quinn's from Michigan, right?
Uh-huh.
I think he went to school right by me, actually.
Yeah, like he went Walled Lake to or Michigan State, I think.
And he went to high school there, too, right?
Yeah, I don't know anywhere about high school for him.
Whatever, I'll look that up later. But I'm pretty sure he like grew up not far from me. I think Pill and Ibiza, what's his name?
Mike Posner.
Mike Posner did too. I think they went might have went to the same school.
That sounds about right.
I also could be making 100% of this up. So somebody fact check me, please.
Somebody's got a fact. We need a fact checker over there, like on Joe Rogan.
Dude, if anybody wants to be my fact checker, all you got to do is press a few buttons and look stuff up. Eventually, I'll pay you. eventually. Well, dude, I'm so fucking stoked for you. You're doing life to the umph degree.
Trying to get it all out there.
Just keep enjoying it. That's my favorite thing in the world to see. I love how much you love this, dude. That's so cool.
Thanks,
man. And the crew and the people and the ideas with the cameras and the fucking music. And dude, you're doing it.
I appreciate you so much, man. Likewise. I'm always down to come back. I'm always down to do this. I'm always down to go camping.
Let's do all the above. But before all that, let's fucking turn this shit off and go listen to some new music.
Sounds like a plan.
Dude, I appreciate you so much. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate you. Go support this man. He's got a new song coming out Friday. Go stream the fuck out of it. Give this man all the love. He deserves it. I appreciate you. And
appreciate you.
To everybody listening,
I'm Christian French, and this is an experiment.
Yeah, baby. Bye, everybody. Thank you, brother.
The experience is the experiment. Ha ha ha.